Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves, they probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth, they sweep it under rugs. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
So welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. We've got another powerful show scheduled for you today. And today is Saturday, January the 19th. Saturday, January the 19th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'll let you get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to jump right in. We want to talk about you. The most powerful topic, the most powerful subject on the planet, bar none, is you. And the reason why this topic is so important is because you are what you've been looking for. You are what you've been searching for. There's a lot of people who are engaged in the process of searching for something or someone to save, something or someone to assist, something or someone to help, something or someone to give them a deeper under, over, or understanding of whatever it is that they think that they are confused about. So, brothers and sisters, today's message, we want to understand one of the foundational scriptures that I talk about is Hebrews 6:1. Again, everybody should know that one by heart because I talk about it so much because it tells us to let us go on past the basic teachings or let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to teleos. Teleos, when we get the English word telomere, that's the thing that's on your DNA. So let us go on to teleos. Let us go on to our telomeres. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then it tells us what we should not be doing over again because we already did it. So that's the first thing. So the first thing is we got to go on to maturity. That's a problem. Most people can't get past first brace. 90% of the people that I know, 90% of the people that's listening to this show, stuck like Chuck. You're on first base. So that's the first problem. Or the first concern, or the first awareness, or the first expansion that needs to take place is you got to get past the current box. You got to get past the basic teachings. You got to get past, I don't care what your religion is, you got to get past it. You got to get past tradition. You got to get on to kingship. You got to get on to dominion. You got to get on to queenship. You got to get on to owning shizness. You got to get on to being responsible for yourself. You cannot look for something or someone else. This is extremely important, brothers and sisters, because many of us, we're stuck at first base. We're on the team, and we just happy that we're on the team. Now, there's more to baseball than, or any sport for that matter, than just being on the team. Now, I don't just want to be on the team and not play and just be a bench warmer. I don't know about you, but not only do I want to be on the team, not only do I want to play, but I want to be the MVP. I want to be the most valuable player. I want to be an asset. I don't want to be a liability. And so now we've got to understand that many of us, we are not our own superhero. There's something, there's someone out there that we aspire or that we look up to and that we say, oh, wow, I want to be like. And that's the problem. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because what's happening is, like it says in the Gospel of Thomas, whatever that you see, whatever that you pray to outside of yourself, proceeds to self. Let me say that again. Whatever you pray outside of the self proceeds to self. That's huge. Because whatever you pray to outside of the self makes you pray to. As we talked about before, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, they are phonetically the same. And so you got to be your own superhero. Now, I should not have to go to this, but I shouldn't have to say it, but I will say it. I'm not saying that you're your own God. I'm not saying that you diss everything that you learned to get on the team. I'm not saying that you everything that Hebrews 6:1 talks about when it says, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm not saying you get rid of the foundation. I shouldn't have to say that at this point in the game. However, I know I have to say it. So I'm not saying that you go out and you just totally scratch everything that you've learned up to this date. But I'm saying because you've learned the basics and you're happy with the basics, that's great. But now it is time for you to shine. And how are you going to do that? Now, think for a second. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because what's happening is we're not really actually engaged in the process of consciousness or awareness or perception or overstanding or mysterion basililia aranos. So mysterion basililia aranos is the understanding that the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, it mentions 8 times, and this is what I'm talking about in my private sessions with the members of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. And if you're not a member of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, I would highly recommend it. We still got the payment plan option that's supposed to end on the 1st. I've extended it. It's 5 payments of $250 a month, and that takes care of the entire year. Again, you get my 50 books. You get 365 audio shows. You get the 1 month of one-on-ones one time a month, and you get the 700-page Dear Kinney report along with the 100-page life optimization chart or life optimization manual, if you will. It's your business plan, basically. So you get all of that for about $1,250. If you pay it in cash, it's one payment of $1,000, and that takes care of you for 2019. You're a member of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center. What are we doing? In Matthew 13, again, if for some stretch of the reason of the imagination you want to do it yourself, just read Matthew 13. Read the entire chapter. In there, it says 8 times, the kingdom of heaven is like. Don't believe me? Just read it. It'll curl your toes and it'll blow your cookies. Matthew 13 tells you what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm establishing on the earth. That's what I hope and pray and beg and plead. That's what you're doing. I hope that you're doing Matthew 13. It is my prayer because that's what God gave you. That is the secret. That is the mysterion secret of the Basililia kingdom of Uranus heaven. That is the secret. Without that secret, your dogs don't hunt in the kingdom. You may be great down chill on this earth. But again, we are spirit. When ashes to ashes, dust to dust, when you exit this stage, your body goes back to the dirt. And your spirit goes back to the spirit. So you must over and understand how to oscillate or vibrate in the spirit realm. You must be your own superhero. You are the one you've been looking for. My job is not to try to fix you because there's nothing wrong with you. People have been lying to you all your life, telling you that you was too short or you was too tall, you was too fat or you was too skinny. None of that shiznits exists in the spirit realm. So everything that you're worrying about today doesn't exist in the spirit realm. There is no giving and receiving in marriage. Do you know how much time you spend on your relationship? How much time do you spend on your relationship? How much energy have you put onto getting a man, keeping a man, finding a man. Oh, I got to keep my man happy. Women walk around like poor little critters trying to keep their husband happy. That Negro ain't happy, bump him. He should be happy by himself. It's not your job to make no man happy. He should keep the keys to his happiness in his own pocket. So should you. Now, I know what you're thinking. I used to think the same thing. But Brother Will, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're supposed to, you know, husbands love your wives, and, you know, it's Christ loved the church, and none of that was written by Yahushua. How in the world a book written about Jesus ain't got no chapter in there that was written by Jesus? And then I can go and find all of these ancient texts and esoteric texts that was written by books of Jesus, and it's not even in the book of Jesus. There's a book about Jesus. Jesus wrote a lot of stuff. Y'all know that? Do you know that Jesus wrote a lot of stuff himself? How come what Jesus said is not in the book that's about what Jesus said? Can somebody please explain that to me? Now, I ain't the brightest bulb in the pack, but I'm a little, you know, this is a little interesting. You know, and no disrespect to Peter, Paul, you know, Mark, you know, Luke, John, them some bad cats. But Yahushua is the one that, you know, did all the work. So I'm interested in what he got to say, more so than I'm interested in what anybody else got to say. Now, I listen to what they got to say, but I prefer to read what Yahushua had to say. And then I prefer to read, actually, what Yahushua's father had to say. Not what the archons had to say, not what the little G's had to say. They have some good shizness, but the big G that it talks about in James, all good gifts come down from the Father of light. Hey, can I talk to that dude? See, that's the prayer I prayed on January the 1st. No disrespect to any of the others, because Jesus himself said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. That means they're keeping you from knowing something. Now, no disrespect to all of, you know the Pentateuch, you know, the law, and the prophets. No disrespect. However, again, there's levels to this thing, brothers and sisters. And what level are you on? That's an easy question. What level are you on? Now, I want to oscillate and vibrate on the highest possible level possible. That is omnibenevolent. That's one of the five omnis of the big G. So to be your own superhero, you got to realize that you are not a zero. So to be a superhero, the first thing is you got to realize that you're not a zero. That means, why are you trying to fix you? Why are you getting breast implants and, you know, why are you getting facial this, that, and the other? And why are you doing all this stuff to your physical body? You know how much money people spend? How much money did, you know, Bruce Jenner spend to become Caitlyn Jenner or whatever? And why would he do that? You know how much money it costs to do a sex change operation? You know how much, you know, men have to take hormones for life to bring about this whole change because of gender. Now, none of that's going to happen. None of that, a spirit don't have none of that. So spirits don't have physical bodies like what we got. So all the time, what am I saying? Now, think, brothers and sisters, this is extremely, extremely important. Think. How much time and energy do you spend in the spirit realm? How much time do you spend in the spirit realm? That means how much time, what is the spirit realm? The spirit realm is the realm of love. So how much time do you spend in love, not talking about it, not thinking about it, not oxytocin, not the chemical love? That's not what I'm talking about. That's worldly love. I'm talking about the biblical love. I'm not talking about strange love. I'm talking about the philo. I'm talking about the agape or the agapo. How much time do you spend in a mental disposition of the love of the truth? How much time? Now, remember, it is the love. You got to have the love first of the love. So you got to fall in love with love. How many people are in love with love? Are you in love with a person? Are you in love with a place? Are you in love with a thing? But you're not in love with love. You're not in love with God. See, I don't know. I'm trying to find somebody, but I don't know. You know, it's a little difficult to find somebody who loves love. Now, see, I got a little advantage because I was born a six. Now, for all the other sixes, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's easier for us because we were born. Now, remember, I'm on a path, and so are you. So if I take your date of birth and I add up all the letters and reduce it to one number, that's the vibration in your brain. That's the spiritual imprint in your DNA. My spiritual imprint says, if I see a stray dog, you know, don't go kicking while he's down. If I see somebody getting jumped by 10 people, I'm at least going to stop. You know, if I can't intervene, I'm going to call 911. I'm not just going to film it and put it on World Star Hip Hop. Or go over there and start kicking them too. Every job I've had, I've been ostracized with the men or women that I work with. Because I've always been in the capacity of either law enforcement or corrections or code enforcement or loss prevention or something where there was people doing something wrong and I was my job was to intervene, stop the action, record the action, or arrest or apprehend. But never once I handcuffed the person, did I ever have a thought to go kick him. Never once did I pump 16 rounds into a man's back while he's fleeing. The thought never came into my mind. I've had people rush me with knives and guns and tasers and bricks and sticks. Never once did I pull my weapon because I was trained to disarm people without my weapon. Cops now, if you say boo, they shoot you. Why? Scared to death. And they pumped up by your, you know, leader, whatever his name is. So what is that? That is not the disposition of love, because it is impossible. I already tried it. It's impossible to kick a man when he's down if you're in love. Not, you know, love, not talking about it, not on the sideline, unconditional love. Unconditional love, you don't agree with somebody, people call you out your name, people do this and other, but you just like, you know, you respond, but you respond in a manner that's love. That is a superhero. A superhero starts with an understanding of God is love. The next thing God is spirit. That's a superhero. And you are those two things. You are spirit, consciousness, awareness, or perception. That means if I take away all your memories, if I take away your body, what do you got left? Your spirit. What is your spirit? Your spirit is consciousness. What is consciousness? Consciousness is an awareness and it is a perception. It is the ability to observe stuff. Now, you should be able to observe yourself. It's called self-analysis or self-awareness or self-analyzation. You should be able to watch yourself doing whatever you're doing. Now, it takes a little, it's a learned skill. So I'm talking and I'm doing this show right now, but at the same time, I'm watching myself as I talk. That means the words that's coming out of my mouth, I'm analyzing them actually before they come out of my mouth. That simply means I am conscious and I'm aware that what I'm saying has impact on people, so don't say nothing stupid. So my brain is telling me, oh, don't say that. You might not want to say that because somebody's going to interpret it wrong. The whole time I'm talking, there's a part of me that's outside of me. It's analyzing me. That's called spirit. That's called God. Now, how do you prove it? Well, the way you prove it is by close your eyes and say, now remember, I'm seeing, I can look outside right now, out of my window in my house, and I can see my tree in my front yard, and it's a tree. So I can close my eyes, and I can see that tree in my brain. Now, I can close my eyes, and I can say elephant, and I can see an elephant. But my eyes is closed. But yet, I can use my imagination, I can use my mind, my will, my emotion, my imagination and my intellect, and I can see an elephant. I can see an orange. I can see an apple. I can see grapes. I can see a steak. Whatever word I say, I can come up with an image in my brain without using my eyes. And we've already done the whole thing where you can read to yourself without moving your mouth, and you can hear yourself with your spiritual ears. So I got spiritual eyes. I got spiritual ears. So that's spirit. So that's, to be a superhero, you have to walk in the spirit. That's a book for how to become your own superhero. We call it the Bible. Now, in the Bible, it tells you specifically how to become your own superhero. The first thing that the Bible says is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start with verse 14. This is today you're going to learn how to become Superman or Superwoman. Whatever you're, so maybe you like Batman, maybe you like Wolverine. You know, I like Jean Grey, in the X-Men. Like she was bad, like she was bad. She just like tear up where she went, just with her brain. She just tear up shiznits. Everybody talk about Wolverine. Yeah, Wolverine was. I like Wolverine too, but Magneto. Wolverine came around. He just controlled the metal. So I like Magneto. Magneto was bad too, but none of them suckers could do nothing with Jean Grey. And remember, we talked about that Jean Grey was code for gray that has to do with the matter or the brain and the genes. And so Jean Grey is a play on the word genes. And the word gray, that means the matter or the gray matter in the bank of the brain. And even Magneto was code for magnet or magic net. And the X is a cross tilted on its side. If you watch the last movie called Logan, at the end of the movie, Logan, they put a cross on his grave and then it falls right before the movie goes off and it makes the X. So the X is the cross. It's the cube, that's the cross, that's an X. It's all the same. So the cross and the cube, why is Abrahamic? You do know that Isaac and Abraham, that's where our religion came from. So Islam and Christianity are both the freaking same. It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. The cross and the cube. What is the cube? Mecca. What is Mecca? Magnets. What is magnet? Magic net. It's designed to use magnetism or magic to put you in a net. That's why the word magic and the word magnetic and the word magi, we call them wise men in the Bible, in the ancient text. The wise men came and they brought three gifts. Those wise men, those were the magi. Remember the movie, The Mummy? The magi stood over and watched the tomb over in Egypt. Those were the magicians. The magi are the magicians. Back in the day, the Christians was called Christian magicians. Read the ancient text. They were called Christian magicians. They weren't called Cretans or Christians. They were called Christians. They was called Crestos, like Crest toothpaste. C-H-R-E-S-T. Crest, that means weapon. Not Christ, that means drug. So again, don't believe me. Please do not 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 believe me. Please read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. What does it say? Remind the believers of these things, charging them before God to avoid quarreling over words. A lot of people, they listen to one word and say, oh, he said the word. He said that word. Click. I can't listen to that brother. That brother is not of God because he said that word. Or he didn't say. He didn't say Jesus. He said Yahushua. Click, can't listen to him. What does the Bible say about that? It says avoid quarreling over words, which is in no way profitable, and it leads its listeners to ruin. So how come people go to church, people listening to me, you listen really closely, and you say, oh, there's that word. He says psychic. That's of the devil. Oh, he said zodiac. Oh, hell no. I can't listen to this dude. Turn him off, man. Turn him off. He's outside of my tradition. See, your whatever bothers you, that's your limit. That's the ruling disposition. That's how you can always tell how conscious somebody is by saying a word. Say one word, and once they start to quarrel over that word, oh, well, brother, you know, I was listening to you, man, and everything you said was pretty good, brother, but, you know, you didn't say in Jesus' name. You know, you just said, you know, in the name that's above every name. Well, you know, brother, you know, kind of saying, you know, Jesus' name, brother. Quarreling over words is not profitable. What does it do? It leads listeners to ruin. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, if you want to be a superhero, now, if you're good where you're at, hey, you do you, boo-boo. Life is good. However, if you want to oscillate and vibrate, if you want to change your environment, like the post I did this morning where if you take a shark and put him in an aquarium, that shark, fish, goldfish, any fish for that matter, will only grow to the size of its environment. Bam! Drop mic, exit stage left. Let me say that again. If you put a fish, you, in an environment, you can only grow to the size of your environment. Now, to my private listeners of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, you already know that because that word means, that the English word abundance, that's what that means. The word abundance means to exceed your environment. Bam! I don't know if you understand. Okay, let me calm down. I'm getting a little too excited. So in Matthew chapter 11, 12, 13, what we've been going through the entire chapter of Matthew 13 in my private Kingdom Millionaire Training Center classes, and we break it down, Matthew 13. Because in there it says, Mysteria Basilia Aranos, that says that you must know this. If you don't know this, your dog will not hunt. You're going to starve to death. If you do not know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven that was given unto you, but it was not given unto them. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. So if you do not know the mysterion, if you do not know the mystery, if you do not know the water story, you do not have kingdom. The word kingdom means dominion. It means power. It means rulership. Over Aranos, that means heaven, sky, zodiac, cosmology. That means the earth controls you. You don't control it. See, but God gave you dominion over five things. But right now, those five things got dominion over you. How do I know? Go out there. You're supposed to have dominion over the fish, of dominion of the birds in the air, creepy crawly things on the earth. So you go out, if you got dominion over a snake, go out there and let a snake bite you and see what happens. U-D-I-E or D-Y-E. Go out into the ocean, find you a big, great white shark, and do what Aquaman do. Try to communicate with that with a great white. He's going to probably maul you. Why? You don't have dominion. Why come we don't have dominion? We don't have the Mysterion or the Basilia of Aranos. We don't have it. So Yahushua came that we might have that. So I'm here to assist myself and you, because remember, I can't fix you because ain't nothing wrong with you. My job is never to try to fix nobody. I'm not in the fixing business. I'm in the assisting, guiding, inspiring. It's called inspiration in spirit. If you walk in spirit, you will not fulfill flesh. Galatians 5. So that's my job is to, number one, get myself in that position and then assist you with getting there. So I'm a guide. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a fixer. Because you can't, if you're fixing something that implies it's broke, you're not broke, boo-boo. You just need to expand your consciousness. You need to go beyond the fixed point. That's what we've been researching and studying in Matthew chapter 13. Because why should we be doing that? Well, 2 Timothy, the manual on how to become your own superhero, says, make every effort to present yourself approved to God. Unshamed and unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. But avoid irrelevant, empty chatter, which will only lead to more ungodliness. So there's a lot of folk, they love to debate. People ask me all the time. I get invited. They say, hey, man, once you go, there's this dude want to debate you, man. You know, you say, you know, the earth, you know, he said the earth is flat. You say the earth is this, that, or the other. Just an example. You say that his name is Yahushua, and he says his name is Jesus. He wants to debate. Well, you know, I'm my own superhero. Since I'm my own superhero, I already know. Because I got the manual to be a superhero. And in the manual of superhero-ness, it says, avoid irrelevant empty chatter, which will only lead to more ungodliness. Now, I've got enough ungodliness already, bro. I don't need more ungodliness. The ungodliness I got, I'm trying to get rid of that. And you're trying to give me more ungodliness because you want me to get involved with vain babbling. Now, I'm a retired vain babbler. You think I'm going back to Egypt? I just got out. 50 years in Egypt, and you want me to go back? Man, you bump your head. I ain't going back to Egypt. Now, you can go back to Pharaoh. You can go back to Egypt, but I ain't going back. I already been down that road. I know where to go. I should see, I'm my own superhero. The way my savings account is set up, see, I put money in my savings account so that way on the rainy day, I got a rainy day fund. And then I tap into the rainy day fund. What am I saying? I'm just saying you better stop consulting because you don't need no consulting. You are your own consultant. You must present yourself. Notice it says make every effort to present yourself approved to God. I can be done say approved to the Reverend Dr. Bishop. So, what, Brother Will, why you do what you do? Why you wake up early, stay up late? You trying to know who you trying to impress? The grantor of destinies. Thank you very much. Who that? The Granter of Destinies? Oh, you know the Granter of Destinies? He's the big G. He got a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. His name is the entire word of God. You can't put him in a box, homie. I know you're trying to put him in that box, but he don't fit. He too big. The big one, not the little one. The one I serve, the big G, yeah, you can't put him in a box. The label, that limit, that title, that label, that limit is too small. He too big. So your job is to under, over, and understand, and to expand your consciousness to match his, then you become your own superhero. See, you're the one that you've been looking for. Now, I know, you're going to keep looking. Because you say, well, Brother Will, you know, that sounds good in theory, brother. But port system. See, the Bible talks about it. James says, blessed is the man who perseveres on the trial. Because when he has stood the test, this is just a test, by the way, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. It didn't say nothing about those who pass the test. See, y'all trying to pass the test. See, again, I read the manual on how to be your own superhero. And it says, you're going to go through, he says, count it all joy. When? It didn't say not. It didn't say if. The manual does not say if. It says count it all joy. When? That means it's coming, boo-boo. So you're going to get tried and you're going to get tested. That's code for you're going to get whooped. That's code for you're going to get mauled. That's code for you're going to fall. That's code for your righteousness is a filthy rag. That's code for it's grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's code for if God be for me, who can be against me? Which is code for when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil. Which is code for Romans 7:14, which in my mind I serve God, in my flesh I serve the devil. Meaning, that is code for no matter what you do in this world, there is something called iniquity. You will stand before the Father, for an example, as it says in Scripture, in the book of how to be a superhero, how to be your own superhero. It says you're going to say, Lord, Lord, I healed the sick in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did this, I did that in your name. I used your name like it was an American Express gold card, green card, black card. In the name of Jesus, plow! And I dropped that card on folks and on demons and devils. I did all of this stuff. You know what God going to say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Not sin. Iniquity, brother. Iniquity, sister. There's a lot of folk. Oh, they keep the law, but they don't overstand iniquity. He said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And in Matthew chapter 13, it talks about that same word, iniquity. And I'll be breaking that word down in my private group because there's a world full of people who are destroying and violating iniquity. Well, they think they're keeping the law. They think that they are not sinners because they didn't read the manual on how to become your own superhero. Because if they had read the manual on how to become your own superhero, they would have joined me in this Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, or they would have read Matthew 13 for themselves, and they would have got on, or they would have went to the Most High for themselves, and they would have said, well, Most High, I need you to lead me and guide me into all truth. Because in Matthew chapter 13, you said, I think 8 times, what the kingdom of heaven is like. And all of those descriptions that talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like is not on this earth. Which means we got a mental disposition to do if we want to become our own superhero. So that means that you take responsibility. Because we know that you said that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sold a good seed in his field. Is there anybody sowing good seeds in their field? Are you sowing good seed in somebody else's field? Are you waiting for somebody to sow good seed in your field? Well, the kingdom of heaven is like, again, I'm a kingdom millionaire training center. That's what I do. I train kingdom millionaires, which is another word for kingdomites, which is another word for basileia, which is another word for dominion, which is another word for ruler, which is another word for roar, lion, the mindset of a lion. That's the kingdom. See, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his own field. You are your own superhero, brother. Take responsibility. Respond to the ability that the big G put inside of you. You have ability. You have it. God said it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the writer of the manual on how to be a superhero, said that I have given you superpowers for life and godliness. So you got superpowers. And he said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. And he said that we have this treasure, this superpower, hidden in earthen vessels. What is this superpower? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the superpower in you, brother. You got the superpower. You are your own superhero, but you're looking outside of yourself for everything that you got inside of the self. Stop looking outside of the self. Look inside the self. Guess what you're going to find in there? Power. Dunamis power. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Power to eat right. Power to run right. Power to work right. Power to live right. You got power, brother. Dunamis power. So you have superpower. You are a super being. You're made in the image and likeness of the King. Pick up your sword. Walk in the boldness and the power that the Father has given you. You're not a peasant. You're a priest. You're a royal priest. You are a holy nation. The manual on how to be a superhero, how to be your own superhero, states in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. The kingdom of heaven, that is the basileia of Aranos, is like a grain of a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed is the smallest seed that produces the biggest plant. That's you. You are a small seed of God, but you're going to produce a big plant for God. Well, at least I am. I don't know. I don't know about you. Hopefully, you will under and understand as well. You are a very small individual expression. You're just a speck of God trapped in a dirt suit. But that little speck, go to Google when you get opportunity or your favorite search engine and type in mustard seed, click on images, and behold. The mustard seed is the smallest, and then type in mustard seed tree or type in a mustard tree. How do you get that big old tree out of that little old seed? How did God get 50 books, 5,000 shows, 500 videos out of a short black man from Forsyth, Texas? You got greatness inside of you, brother. You got greatness inside of you, sister. It's just lying dormant. It's just waiting for you to activate it. It's God is waiting for you to be you. What you're searching for, who you're looking for, the help you're looking for, is you. You are the one. You are Neo in the Matrix. You're the one. You can stop running from the agents now. When you see an agent, don't run. When you see a demon, don't run. When you see a demon, you slice and dice that demon in the name that is above every name. Because why? You have been given power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, I don't understand. I don't know if you understand your greatness and your power and your potential. So you can stop acting like a poor creature because you ain't broke. You ain't fixed. You ain't got no problems. You just got an illusion. You got false evidence appearing real. Call those things that are not as though they were. I am wealthy. I am healthy. I am wise. I am in a great relationship. I am that I am. So are you. Brothers and sisters, it is time for you to make every effort to present yourself approved unto God, not unto the reverend, doctor, or the bishop. Approved unto God, not man. That word approved means tried. Have you been tried, brother? Have you been tried, sister? Have you been tried by the fire? Have you been through any adversity in your life? Have you been through all the worst thing that happened to you where you had a flat tire? Oh, maybe you broke a nail and you just had a meltdown. I don't know what I'm going to do. I broke my nail on a file cabinet at the office today. I was attacked by Satan himself. Really? That's the best you got, boo-boo? You got a hangnail or you had a flat tire? I pray to God you've been through some adversity. The best thing that happened to me, I was born in adversity, in extreme poverty. The best thing that happened to me is I was basically raised in a cult. My definition of it was a cult. I don't know what my brothers and sisters call it, but for me, the shiznits that we did, I can't find in the Bible. Half of it. That's the best thing that happened to me. The next best thing that happened to me, my mama died when I was young. Why? Forced my black ass to grow up. The next best thing that happened to me, I was raised by a father who thought I was freaking invisible. Not once did that Negro tell me, son, I love you. I'm proud of you. Today. I ain't talking about past tense. Today. None of the stuff I do as a father, my father done for me. Nothing. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Why? I make damn sure I tell my children every day I love them. I call them and I check on them. See how they're doing. I go by and I see them. I'll go to their weddings, birthday parties. Play football for freaking 10 years. My father never saw me play one. Now, let me make sure you understand, brothers and sisters, because you better be your own hero. I am not waiting for my biological father or my heavenly father to be my hero. Jesus said it is finished when he left this rock, and he left the Ruach and the Pneuma as a down payment. And you got that because I got it. What you're hearing, that righteous indignation that you hear my voice right now, that's the Ruach. That's the Pneuma. That's the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Read Matthew 13. If you go down to the bottom of Matthew 13, they said something about Jesus. They're going to say the same thing about you. First of all, if you read Matthew 13:45, it says, "And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking godly pearls." Matthew 13:44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field." And then it goes on and on and on talking about this kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And who's talking? Jesus is talking. Now everybody else preaching something else. Jesus preached the kingdom. That's what I preach. I don't preach what other Negroes preach. I preach the kingdom. That's what Jesus preached. That's what he taught. Jesus said in Matthew 13:43 that the kingdom is like the sun that shines forth. And in the kingdom, the kingdom is of their Father. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. Why is that important, brothers and sisters? It's important because what's been preached right now is not the kingdom. Matthew 13:47 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that has been cast into a sea, and it gathers every kind. How many kinds does it gather, brother? Every kind. Well, no, you know, I can only talk to, you know, people that are straight or people that are gay, people that are black. Oh, I can't hang out with those, you know, those Caucasians. Or the Caucasians, I can't hang out with the Negroes. But that's not the kingdom, brother. So for you to be your own superhero, you need to understand the kingdom. Because the king is totally different from everybody else. Because in verse 51 it says, Matthew 13:51, Jesus said unto them, "Have you understood all these things that I have said unto thee?" Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his own treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from them. And he came into his own country, and he taught them in their synagogues. How come it wasn't his synagogue? Jesus didn't have no synagogue, brother. Jesus didn't have no synagogue, sister. He taught in their synagogues. How come he didn't have one? He didn't need one. Do you understand? Let me break it down for you just a little bit further. He went into his own country. Notice it was his own country. But he taught in their synagogue. But he's in his own country. Insomuch that they were astonished. And he said, whence hath this man got his wisdom and these mighty works? So tomorrow, around 12 noon, you're going to see me do the same thing. You're going to see me go into their synagogue. And you're going to see me drop some mighty works and wisdom. And you will see the response. Well, you won't see it because they always cut the Facebook live feed. And I may just keep the live feed going tomorrow, because after I preach, there's always a Q&A, which is good. All right, because again, I want to make sure that everybody understands. Watch. It'll be on Facebook Live tomorrow, 12 noon. I've preached, what, four or five times, and every time after every service. Well, brother, you know, I don't understand that. Could you, you know? And I use scriptures because, again, that's good. I don't mind. I like answering questions, real questions. Now, let me make sure you understand, because the same thing happened to Jesus. So I know I'm not the Lone Ranger. He was in his own country, but he went to their synagogue, not his synagogue. And when he went there, everybody was astonished. Did you see the message I did last Sunday or the last time I preached? It's on my YouTube channel. Everybody was astonished. And then everybody said, where did this fool get his knowledge? People ask me all the time, well, Brother Will, how you do a show every day? Now, I'm doing another show tonight for the private members, Kingdom BNS Training Center. We're going through this, what I'm talking about right now. Now, I used to do 3 shows a day, but people couldn't keep up. I wrote 50 books. I still got about 100 and something left in the garage. I ain't even scratched the surface on them. I'm trying to wait for people to catch up. I got 500 videos on YouTube. I post more every once in a while. I do a short nugget every morning on my way to the gym. And they're all about different subjects. Where do I get my knowledge from? I get it from the Father. And all of the mighty works I do, you want to talk about mighty works? Yeah, I got a car in the driveway right now that I got. I'm getting ready to go get me a new convertible Corvette here in a couple of weeks. How am I going to go get it? I ain't got no job. I ain't got my credit score is probably 400. I don't even got my credit score so bad. They don't even run my credit. I don't need none of that stuff. I don't need the worldly things. Now, I'm not saying that you don't use it, and if you got that, you shouldn't use it. I'm just simply saying one thing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because they told Jesus, now, let me finish reading it. In Matthew 13:54, it says, where does he get his wisdom from? Where he gets his ability to teach? Then look at verse 55, Matthew 13:55. It says, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers called James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Now, that's another big issue. Most people don't know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Because verse 56 says, and his sisters, are not all of them with us? Whence then has this man all these things? They're saying, hold up. We know Jesus' brother. His name is James. He's all right, dude, but he's just all right. And then His other brother, Jose, or Joseph, or J-O-S-E-S. Then he got another brother named Simon, and then he got another brother named Judas. So Jesus had four brothers. Everybody here talking about, they say Jesus only got one. So I just read the scripture where it says Jesus had four brothers. Now, I'm not making this up. This is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. They said, is not this the carpenter's son? Now, people tell me this all the time. Now, I got brothers, too. And it says, and he has sisters, Matthew 13, 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? So when the stuff I teach, me and my brother, we don't teach the same thing. Now, I love my brother. My brother loves me. We talk. We text and we talk every once in a while. I love my sisters. My sisters, we talk all the time. But me, my brothers and sisters, we don't teach the same thing. Now, why is that? We came from the same mama. That's the same thing they told Jesus. Now, again, watch what happens tomorrow at 12 noon when I preach. And this time, I'm going to leave the tape on after the service. And I'm going to record what goes on after the service that nobody sees. This happens every time I preach, everywhere I go. It's happening right now. The stuff I teach, people, now remember, I just read it, Matthew 13. If anybody want to know what I do, where I get it from, and why I do it, just read Matthew 13. The exact same thing happened to Jesus. This is the kingdom. Jesus, now remember, I just read, and it's in Matthew 13, at least seven times, when Jesus himself, now I got no problem with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, nobody. But Jesus, the book is supposed to be about Jesus. Why come the chapter of Jesus is not in there? Why do we have Mark, Luke, John, but why come we don't have a book? How come we don't have the book of Jesus? There is a book of Jesus. How come it's not in the Bible? If you don't know the answer to that question, then we really can't have a conversation. Because Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things that I said unto you? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Matthew 13, 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder. Now, brothers and sisters, before we wrap up today's message, let me be crystal clear, because this is the difference between what I do and what most other Reverend Dr. Bishops do. Because, again, it's didactic. Jesus said, and I read it in Matthew 13, he never preached unless he preached in a parable. And the word parable means parabole, which in my private kingdom in our training classes, all of my members know parabole. That means you say one thing, but you mean something else. You compare it. It means comparison. Do not believe me. Do not. Do not believe a word I'm saying. Look it up for yourself. Because we read in 2 Timothy, this is the requirement to be your own superhero. Because you've been given everything that you need for life and godliness to be a superhero. I'm not a superhero because of the fact that I'm all power and all knowing. I'm just like you. I'm just a dirt suit. I'm just a sack of dust. Only thing I got is two things: grace and favor. Why I went through adversity, and God put me out of that adversity. To whatever degree the pendulum swings to the left, it swings to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 says, remind the believers of these things, charging them before God to avoid quarreling over words. I don't quarrel. I don't debate. I educate. Why? Because the constitution of the gospel of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, which in no way is profitable, and it leads listeners to ruin. See? Like I said, if it doesn't pay my light bill, I'm not interested. That's why I do not debate, I educate. But it is in no way profitable, and it brings ruin to listeners. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. If you want to be your own superhero, make every effort to present yourself approved unto God. No reverend, no doctor, no bishop needed. You approve yourself, brother. You approve yourself to who? God, not men. The grantor of destinies. Why? And unashamed workman. You should be an unashamed workman. Are you ashamed, brother? Man, do you know what guilt and shame does to the human body? Everybody that got some type of chronic disease, I got a 600-page book right now that was sent to me by one of my clients who said, brother, I cannot believe what you're saying, because it's in this book by Dr. Henry W. Wright, who goes around the world healing people. There's 150 testimonies in this book that aligns up exactly with everything that I've been saying for 20 years, which is all emotions are stored in your body. The more emotional you are, the more disease you got. But it's the emotions that you don't let out. All the people that walk around who don't talk, who don't share, who you just keep everything bottled up, all that shit is going to manifest in your body. Fear is the number one problem in the black community, because they go to church and they're afraid to go to hell. Fear blows out your kidneys. You know how many people I know that's on dialysis? Do you have any freaking clue how many people I know that's on? At least 30 people that I know that's on dialysis, and they're all black. All of them. Because Negroes walk around in fear. That's why I don't do fear. I'd rather die today than live one day in fear. One, not even a day, a minute, not even a minute, a freaking second. I do what I fear. Anytime I'm afraid of it, if it say, thou shalt not steal, I'm going to go steal. Because I read that in this flesh, doesn't matter. It only matters what's in your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. God knows my heart. Negroes been wishing bad shit on me for years, and ain't nothing happened. Why? I've never done anything with the intent to hurt, harm, or defraud anybody. If somebody get hurt in the process, oh, that's called collateral damage. I don't wake up in the morning looking to go out and try to hurt anybody or try to disrespect anybody. Anybody who knows me, they know I'm not wired that way, bro. That's not how I roll. But I ain't scarred either. If you run up on me, man, and punch me, I'm going to punch you back. That's the way it is. I had to learn the hard way. Because when I was young, dumb, and stupid, I didn't do that. And I got my ass whooped every day. So that dog don't hunt. So what am I saying, brothers and sisters, so that way I'm crystal clear, so that you can understand the righteous indignation in my voice? Make every effort to present yourself. I can't help you. I can't fix you. You got to do it yourself. You got to be your own superhero. Why? When Jesus died, he said, it is finished, and he left a earnest money deposit inside of you. It is called the Ruach and the Pneuma and the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, because that's how I've gotten this far. I don't listen to men. I listen to God. I follow what the Spirit says. And in your gut, you know right from wrong. You know right from wrong. You know that there is no way on God's green earth, there is no way that half the stuff that is taught can be true, because it doesn't make reasonable and logical sense. You know it. You know that there's no way that can be possible. You know that there's no way that a good God would do bad things. You know that the bad things are the result of the manipulation of the good God. So God is omnibenevolent. He's always sending at one frequency. But man manipulates that frequency. So your job is to do exactly what the Bible says. Why? You are your own superhero. What does the Bible say, Brother Will? It says, then they said unto him, therefore, every scribe, number one, which is instructed unto the kingdom. Do you know Matthew 23 says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Why? You took away the keys, or the key of knowledge. What is a scribe? Now, I've done many shows on scribes. And I had to, because I'm a scribe. So I want to understand what it says, woe unto you lawyers, you liars, you lawyers are liars, liars are lawyers. Jesus didn't like lawyers. Why? Because they manipulate jots and tittles. So this word scribe is where I did my 7-hour, or was it 12, 7-hour series that I did, breaking down this word scribe.
Strong's G, 1122, grammatus, grammatus.
Grammatus. So I have a book called Grammar, Grammoria, and Grammatus. And in that book, I break down the scribe. And that, again, according to the Helios Biblios, according to the Constitution, according to the book on how to become your own superhero, is the ability to understand. A scribe is someone that has learned or has the ability to teach. But the way by which this individual teaches is related to a clerk or someone who has a public office, a recorder, Someone who has the ability to influence different states. Let me say it again. Someone who has the ability to influence different states. Let me say that one more time. A scribe. Those states are mental dispositions. And sisters, as you already know, if you've been listening to me, one of the things that's dangerous about that as a scribe is basically the same definition of a sociopath and a psychopath, meaning they can put you in different states, meaning they change the way you think, meaning they change the way you feel, meaning they change what you the way you act. That can be very good or that can be very bad. So a scribe is someone who has the ability to use their words. As my daughter told me when she was like 5 or 6 years old, my oldest daughter, I'll never forget when she said, "Dad, you have a mouthpiece." Because she saw me preaching and talking. And I was out back in my young, dumb, and stupid days when I used to go downtown to the homeless shelter and down the streets of downtown San Antonio underneath the bridge, and I would take my children with me so they could see. Probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever did in my life, because I exposed my children to especially my two oldest, to too much too soon, because it shut down their spirit. I was riding around a brand new car with Jesus Saved on the top of it. Y'all want to talk about a religious zealot? I was a freaking religious fool, because I was a scribe. And I've learned the hard way, brothers and sisters, that you must be very careful. I must be very careful on how we change people's states, mental dispositions. Because it's not your job. It's not my job. My job is to assist you with changing you. You're supposed to change your mental disposition, not me. I'm here to assist you, to guide you to the book, to the words, to your closet, to the Father, so you can get on your own knees and you can get your own message, you can get your own direction, so when it goes good, you can pat yourself on the back and you can increase your own confidence. And when it goes bad, you can't say, "Well, Brother Will told me to do it," and blame me, so that way you don't take responsibility for your own actions. But when you come up with your own plan and you implement your own plan and you carry out your own plan, when you make a profit, every time I check my PayPal account, guess what happens? I look in the mirror and I high-five myself. I say, "Boy, you doing the damn thing." Why? I did it. With the help and the leadership and the grace and the mercy of my Father. Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but I got to say it. I shouldn't have to say it. I'm not talking about no egotistical, arrogant, cocky, "I'm my own man, I don't need nobody, I did this myself, you know, there is no God." That's not what I'm talking about. I shouldn't have to say it, but I know I do. I'm talking about understanding that I'm just a speck of dirt, that God blew the breath of life and I became a living soul. I know from whence I came. I'm not that arrogant or cocky to walk around and think that I'm a self-made man and I did this all on my own. I had a praying mama and a praying grandmama, and I come from a history of praying people. That's how I got here. I didn't get here overnight. I didn't get here by myself. It took me 50 years to get here. So I'm not no overnight wonder. But now that I'm here, I'm going to tell everybody else how to get here. And the way that you get here is you pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. You look yourself in the mirror. And you do it, brother. And you do it, sister. I got two sisters, man. I'm very proud of both of my sisters. Both of my sisters were married. They had, you know, decent husbands. I can't really, you know, speak on their husbands. But they both are divorced. I have a sister that lives in Arkansas. I have another sister that lives in Houston. When I go see my sister Linda in Houston, she got her own car, two of them, in fact. She got her own house. She got her own job. She buy her own jewelry. She do her own nails. She do her own hair. She do her own makeup. Now, I'm not a proponent from this, you know, I'm not talking about this Beyonce crap or this Oprah stuff where you don't need a man. That's what I'm talking about. That's not my sister's disposition either. But my sisters know, just like I know, if it is to be, it's up to me. We was raised in the same freaking house. And my mama taught my sisters the same thing that she taught me. You get up, and if you want to do something, you freaking do it for yourself. You don't ask for a handout. You ask for a hand up. My sister Brenda been working the same freaking job for 30-plus years. 30. While I was going through 58 jobs, I would call her, and she would say, yeah, bro, I understand. You know, if you need anything, I'm here for you. That's about, you know. I would call my sister and say, hey, Bren, I got this new multi-level marketing scheme. Girl, you can blow up overnight. Yeah, bro, for real? Okay, send me the information. She never said, Negro, you crazy, which is what she probably should have said. You know, she didn't quit her job. She didn't follow me in none of my high-brain schemes. My sister's on the same job. She's been on that same job since she was freaking 18. So what I'm saying, I didn't make up out of my head. I didn't read it in no book. My brother Glenn, same thing. We both was in the military. My military career, his went toward the end, went a little bad. Not his fault. He was married to somebody that was a little touched in the skull like me. She did some cray-cray stuff, so he got kicked out of the military, or he exited out of the military in a fashion that, you know, could have been better. But guess what? Guess where he's at now? How did he get there? He did the same thing I'm telling you. My younger brother, Gary, when my mother passed away, my younger brother, out of all of us, he had it the hardest. He had the hardest. Because he was like 5 or 6. I don't even know if he have any remember. He had no mother or father. My uncles used to come over there. None of them loved him, but they would come over there every day. He got in trouble and beat him. He's a police officer right now, been a police officer for the last 20 years. You know what he did? He became his own superhero. My sisters, they became their own superhero. And they, the whole time they was doing it, they kept God first. And I'm the black sheep of the family. It took me longer than anybody else to figure it out, but guess what? I figured it out. Now, I'm my own superhero. And I look up, and every night I go to bed, I thank God for his grace and mercy. Because if it wasn't for grace and mercy, you would not be hearing this voice. Brothers and sisters, I'm just simply trying to express to you the importance of you doing what my sisters did. My sister went through a lot of adversity. I remember because she called me. I remember driving down to Austin. I remember, you know, her and her husband got into a big altercation. And I remember she had to start off from scratch. She had built up everything and basically had to walk away from it. Went to a whole other state. Started from scratch. So you cannot tell me it can't be done. I moved 25 times out of my own ignorance and stupidity. And no matter how many times I messed up, God was always there. He never left me nor forsook me. 25 times, brothers and sisters, I moved. 58 freaking jobs. How many times should you forgive your brother? Seven? No, the Bible says 7 times 70, meaning it ain't no limit. So you cannot tell me. Now, you can tell somebody else, but you cannot tell me you don't serve a God unconditional love. Everybody else got a different God than what I got. The one I got, oh, he got your back. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There's always a ram in the bush. I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. That's why I can't hang out with dead people, where the glass is always freaking half empty, where the devil's always on their back. You always broke down. Man, I've already been there and already done that. And the way I got out was no matter what adversity I was facing, I always knew that if God be for me, who could be against me? I always knew that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I didn't say it wasn't going to hit me. I wasn't going to fall. But I knew that it wasn't going to prosper, meaning that it wasn't going to bear fruit, meaning it wasn't going to dominate me. I may fall today on Monday, but come back and check me out on Wednesday, maybe Thursday or Friday. I'm going to be back up. Brothers and sisters, especially women, be very careful of men like I used to be. They don't know. They're well-meaning. They're well-wishing. But there's men who have been through a lot of adversity, and they got a hole in their heart, and they want you to feel it, and you can't. They got to feel it themselves. I sucked the life out of a lot of people because I wanted them to do for me what I needed to do for myself. My first wife being one of those people. That's why I apologize to her to this day, still send her child support to this day. Even though I haven't finished, I still send her child support. And we'll continue. Not because I have to, not because there's no freaking government, because it's the freaking right thing to do. Because I have the love of love. It's important, brothers and sisters, that you be your own superhero and that you do what's in your heart and what's in your gut that you know is right. When your spirit tells you, send money, don't send money, go left, go right, say I love you, don't say whatever the spirit leads you to do, especially when it involves other people. Because if you want to serve God, you have to serve people. Because God is in people. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters, because all I know, if it wasn't for God, the love of God in the hearts and minds of other people who helped me, I wouldn't be in the position that I am today to help other people. Every Sunday I preach, I always bring up some of the little kids and give them money. Tomorrow I do the same thing. Why? Because somebody did it for me. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. Make sure that you be your own superhero and stay connected to the creator of all superheroes, the Father, the Big G, through the Son, Yahushua, the Christ. I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will make no doubt about it. I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? Stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
That right.
If you don't get it, best repeat and go, you'll find it.